Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
They're called the Couch Potatoes. Brett McGarry and Jeff Braun from CJOB Radio in Winnipeg on the Chorus Radio Network, hosts of that terrific critical review show, which disassembles the best and the worst of TV, film, and online entertainment. What are the boys up to? And what should we be watching and thinking about and maybe ignoring in 2019? We had a good yak.
I've been chasing this guy for 3 months. I've got him dead to rights. Fingerprints, witnesses, it's in the bag. So I'm just going to grab a healthy breakfast.
Are those gummy bears wrapped in a fruit roll-up?
Breakfast burrito, but yeah.
I pity your dentist.
Ah, joke's on you. I don't have a dentist.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I haven't seen yet because the only cop show I remember is Hill Street Blues. Well, who's laughing there? Who finds that amusing?
How long ago is that, Roy?
Oh, 100 years.
80% of all TV shows are cop shows, you know.
That was when they drove those square cruisers with one big trouble bubble in the middle of the roof.
Is that the one where they came out from under, like, the underground parkade and they had to go up
That's the really one. Awkward? That's the one. Yeah. Be careful out there. So the sergeant. That was a great series, though.
It was. It was very good. It was one of the original great cop shows.
Thank you for humoring me. Sure. I appreciate that. I'm joined by Brett McGarry and Jeff Braun, the Couch Potatoes from CJOB Radio in Winnipeg, hosts of the terrific Critical Reviews show, which disassembles the best and the worst of TV programs, film, and online entertainment, the Couch Potatoes. It's Golden Globes Day today as well. So why don't you guys take the lead? Where are we going to start? What's most significant today? Is it the Golden Globes?
Well, as far as the Golden Globes are a big deal. It's kind of the first major awards show that's going to lead to what's essentially quite an exhausting season as we, you know, figure out which one's going to win the Oscar, and this movie won that award, and this movie won that award.
And a year from now, we won't be able to remember almost, I don't know, most of these movies, period. Very few of them will have that lasting effect. I'm always forever looking up to see, well, what won last year? I can't remember.
And what we'll remember is the political statements that were made.
Yeah, that's right. That always ends up being the takeaway from these awards shows. This person said this, and this person did that, and this person made this faux pas. And the hosts were criticized for doing this or saying that. And
almost more bother than it's worth.
And whoops, here's another wardrobe malfunction. Totally
right,
unplanned.
Yeah. And someone's going to get mocked for what they wore. So I'm actually not even going to watch the Golden Globes, partly because simply I'm staying at a place tonight where I have no access to TV. So The decision was kind of made for me. But I'll just get the recap in the morning and find out who won. I hope that Black Panther makes a splash and wins Best Motion Picture Drama. That would be a major statement. It will not win, but I think it's cool that it was nominated.
We have a little something from Black Panther right here.
Our weapons will not be used to wage war on the world. It is not our way to be judge, jury, and executioner for people who are not our own.
Not your own. But didn't life start right here on this continent? So ain't all people your people?
I am not king of all people. I am king of Wakanda. And it is my responsibility to make sure our people are safe and that vibranium does not fall into the hands of a person like you.
Son?
Special, huh?
What's that?
That's special, the Black Panther.
Oh, it was great. Jeff, you liked that movie too, right?
I liked it a lot. It's one of the better Marvel movies. It is weirdly, like, special effects-wise and action-wise, it's about the same. They're all about the same. But this one just sort of went another degree further in the depth of story and the depth of some of the characters.
Yeah, guys, let me back this right up. How did you get together on this? How did the Couch Potatoes come about?
Couch Potatoes started back in, I think, 2006.
six, seven, right around the time of the Da Vinci Code. I remember that was one of the first, not the first, one of the first episodes we talked Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, so I'm just looking that up right now. So, it was just because 2006. So it was May of 2006. So, and then the spring of 2006, Jeff and I just kind of realized all we ever talked about as colleagues and friends was what did we watch on TV and what movies had we seen.
And now how can we get paid for doing it?
Yeah. So we thought, hey, this could actually make for a good radio show. And we knew that our boss at the time, Vic Grant, had been looking for more local programming on the weekend. So we pitched him this idea, figured he would laugh at us and tell us to get out of his office. And he said, no, go ahead. We give it a shot. So we did, and here we are almost 13 years later now. We're on in Winnipeg and six other stations across Canada through the Corus Radio Network.
And you guys are great. You're really great. I mean, there are so many people who get into the let-me-do-reviews business, and some of it gets pretty stiff. Some of it's funny. Some of it's excellent. Some of it's just stiff. But your approach is different because you compare, you share. Yeah, you have fun with it. You make me want to go watch things, and I've now become a reality TV person. I like to watch Life Below Zero. I like to watch these shows from Alaska for some reason. I don't know why, but I watch these shows that come out of Alaska. But you make me think about, oh yeah, I should watch this. I should watch that. So,
well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. The Alaska shows sound fun, probably because I would imagine they're all somewhat treacherous and dangerous, and you sort of wonder, would I be able to hack it in that kind of a climate?
I do. Actually, I do. I keep thinking if I was 20 years younger, I'd go out there and have to take a shotgun to the outhouse.
I like that sort of thing as well, because then it's also the sort of thing where you think, well, winter's bad here, but it could be a lot worse.
It could be a lot worse. What are the shows that you like, both of you, and where do you maybe sort of cross swords on things? What should we, as consumers, be looking at and maybe looking at to enjoy in 2019?
You mentioned Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and if you haven't seen that, Jeff, that's one of your favorites for sure.
It's absolutely one of my favorites. It's a sitcom. It was developed in part by a guy named Mike Schur, and his roster of TV shows that he's produced either from scratch or with someone else is amazing. He was one of the head writers on The Office in its heyday, and then he co-created Parks and Rec as well as Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and now also The Good Place, which is also on right now. And he's got another show coming up later this year called Abby's, about a young lady who starts a bar in her backyard. So he's one of these producer types that anytime his name pops up, I pay attention because his stuff is always funny. And Brooklyn Nine-Nine's back from beyond the grave. It got canceled by Fox last summer. NBC picked it up 2 days later, and its season premieres this week on Thursday, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. It's super funny. I can understand why some people might be turned off from it, because Andy Samberg is funny, but he's one of these like very in-your-face kind of zany actor, and the character that he has created here is the same thing, Jake Peralta. It's almost a little too much at times, but it's not just a comedy, and it's as it has evolved, it's starting to tackle more and more social issues. But they present it in a way that's not too, like, beat you over the head with our social justice agenda.
And most importantly, it's very funny. You laugh out loud a lot during the episodes. And, Roy, it's a cop show. It's set in the police precinct. It could be your new cop show.
Be careful out there. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch this show because I'm looking forward to it. I used to like Barney Miller.
Well, Barney Miller was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great
Barney Miller.
For that, too.
Abe Vigoda.
Yeah, Pagoda, yeah, fish.
And on Netflix, Jeff?
Yeah, you could catch up on Netflix, Roy, with the old first six seasons of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think, are still on Netflix.
Okay, all right. What about some of the shows that have been around for a while, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, 6 years? Are there any that still have real legs to them, or do you find that you're, after a period of time, regardless of how good the show might have been, it gets tired because they can't find something new to really catch your attention?
By the time winter ends, all you are going to hear about is Game of Thrones for about three straight months.
Really, yeah?
Game of Thrones debuts in April, I think April 4th on HBO, and this is a show now that's entering its eighth and final season, and I think they're ending it at the right time because it's the biggest show on the planet, And it was gone in 2018, so people are just desperate to see more of it. But it's a show that started off like it was an ambitious show to begin with, but it's become increasingly ambitious. I think they're spending $15 million on each of the final six episodes of this series. And, yeah, this is the show that people, as far as shows that people talk about now in this day of where everybody's watching something different on different channels or streaming or whatever.
Or different times.
Yeah, this is the one sort of mass media show that people are going to stand around the water cooler, so to speak, and talk about. I am so pumped for Game of Thrones. Another show that I think it was off in 2018 as well is Veep.
Yep, because Julia Louis-Dreyfus stars in the HBO sitcom as the vice president, at least at the start of the series, that's what she was. They took it off last year because she had to deal with her breast cancer, of course. But it will, the final, seventh and final season will start again this spring on HBO, probably close to the same time as Game of Thrones. I don't think they've announced a start date for that yet, but that one is also an awards winner every year, so it'll be a big deal when Veep comes back.
So you're talking about TV, you're talking about films, you're talking about streaming. How many platforms do people actually use, and where does conventional television fit into all of this?
Conventional television fits into this in the sense that it's not good for conventional television, because more often than not, I hear people talk about what they're binging on Netflix as opposed to what they're watching on television. That kind of makes me sad, because the best TV programming, I think, is still through your traditional TV, because there are so many different channels making so many excellent shows.
Yeah.
That's not to say that Netflix doesn't have good shows, but if you're relying only on Netflix, then you are missing out on a world of very good content. But there's Netflix, there's Amazon Prime, there's Crave, which recently amalgamated with the Movie Network, so now the Crave TV app and the Movie Network channels, along with HBO Canada, are essentially one entity. There's the Disney streaming network that's getting ready to launch.
Warner Brothers is doing something similar. There are and little nooks and crannies that you would never think of. Facebook, believe it or not, has some original programming. I've never seen it. I've only heard of it. Apparently, Walmart.com does as well, which I never occurred to me to stream a show on Walmart, but honestly, if you got like a web server that can hold a TV show, you can just do it yourself. It's everywhere.
That's it.
And it's almost impossible to keep track of.
It's amazing.
We do this. We have other full-time jobs in addition to being the couch potatoes, and we can't keep up with it. But I read TV critics who are full-time TV critics. Their literal only job is to keep on top of this stuff, and they can't even keep up with it now.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
it really is.
There are approximately 500 scripted television shows just in the United States from American providers that people have access to.
Wow, talk about a competitive environment.
Yeah, hyper-competitive. It's hard to gain a foothold, and everything's becoming so... It's getting to the point now where if I find somebody who happened to watch the same show that I watched, I get so excited because I have someone to talk to it about. I can talk to about it with somebody else rather than just myself.
I've even read articles with producers complaining that they've got the idea for a show, they've got a pilot written, they've got the financing, they can't find crew members to shoot it because there's just that many shows in production all the time.
You know, you're talking to somebody. When I was a kid, we had two channels,
yeah,
and rabbit ears. And somebody would always say to somebody else in the room, get up, just get up and go put your finger on the top of that antenna so we can get a better, more clear signal.
And they didn't even have a whole day's worth of programming.
We didn't, no. Why am I laughing? You guys are so good, so good. Let me take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about some movies. Certainly Bohemian Rhapsody, but I went to see Clint Eastwood last film. That's what he says, Mule. And I really, really, really liked it. And I'd like to have your thoughts on that. We're talking to the Couch Potatoes. They are so good. Brett McGarry, Jeff Braun on the Chorus Radio Network out of our Chorus Radio station in Winnipeg, CJOB. These guys are terrific.
So, this is the main feed. Every action by every human on Earth is recorded and then sent here to be assigned a point value based on the absolute moral worth of that action. For example, a couple in Osaka, Japan, just decided to have a destination wedding. Negative 1,200 points. Oh, and it's a destination theme wedding. -4,300. The theme's Lord of the Rings. They're basically doomed.
So what was that we were listening to, guys?
That was The Good Place, which airs Thursday nights on Global. It comes back this week, Jeff, I think,
I believe so.
Like 3 weeks before it goes away again. But it's an excellent show set in the afterlife, starring Ted Danson and...
Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell plays a girl who died, and she goes to The Good Place, or so she thinks. And it's amazing, and it's the most creative sitcom I've ever watched.
Yeah, and it's terrifically funny, and just like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I believe the first couple of seasons are on Netflix. You can catch up if you haven't seen it yet.
And the older I get, the more relevant that gets.
Oh, and Ted Danson's in it. He's amazing.
Yeah. National treasure, Ted Danson.
National treasure. Brett McGarry, Jeff Braun, the Couch Potatoes on the Chorus Radio Network. They're my guests, my colleagues and coworkers, and I'm really enjoying this. You guys bring so much enjoyment to the radio. When I come into the studio before my show on Saturdays, and sometimes Saturdays and Sundays, you guys are on, and I sit down and I lean back, it's about the only time I do that, and I listen and I laugh and I enjoy what you're doing, and you're doing exactly the same thing right here. I mean, this is really, you're really, really good. Now, you don't have to thank me for that. It's just... That's the way it is.
Well, the thing with talk radio is so much of it, you know, concerning the issues of the day, it can get a little negative at times, so, and a little bit of a bummer. A lot of the news, of course, as hits the airwaves, so it's fun to have a fun hour here and there.
Yeah, so let's talk about The Mule, with Clint Eastwood. I went to see that. I didn't know what to expect, but I saw Clint Eastwood, I think he's 88 years of age.
Yep.
He owned the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt, though, when it was over, that I had to go home and get a DVD of Dirty Harry just so I could see Clint Eastwood as I remember him, you know, as he fired 6 shots or only 5. Well, I'll tell you, in all the excitement, I plumb forgot. So have you seen Mule?
I saw a Mule. Clint Eastwood is hands down my favorite actor of all time. Actually, just watched Unforgiven last night. So a Clint Eastwood movie is always a big thing for me, especially when he's in it. And I'm like you. I love The Mule as well. I sort of thought he'd be a little crankier in it, but he turned out to be like the fun version of Clint Eastwood, which you don't see on screen a whole lot.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a pleasant surprise, too.
And it was not really predictable. You didn't really know what was going to happen next.
No, it took some weird twists and turns.
Not
the least of which was some of the love scenes involving Clint Eastwood at 88 that I really wasn't expecting. But that was one for the ages there.
I like the singing in the truck, too.
Yeah.
It was really good. Okay, so Bohemian Rhapsody. Good, bad, indifferent. Where did you rank that?
I thought it was good, and it is nominated at the Golden Globes tonight for Best Drama. It's not going to win. That category will likely be taken by A Star is Born, another excellent film involving music. But I liked Bohemian Rhapsody. I thought Rami Malek did a very impressive job. And the best part about that movie was the recreation of the Live Aid concert from 1985. And it was so meticulous. It was almost shot for shot the same show that Freddie Mercury and Queen put on back in 1985. So the way that they were able to pull that together was super impressive. And seeing it on a big screen in that kind of cinematic context was even better. It just gave me goosebumps the entire time. Very good film.
Guys, thank you so much for the time today. I really, really appreciate it and enjoy it. Brett McGarry, Jeff Braun, The Couch Potatoes on the Chorus Radio Network from CJOB Radio in Winnipeg. I hope you'll come back. And I urge everybody to listen in and enjoy what Jeff and Brett put together. You guys are great.
Thanks, Roy. And hey, don't forget we have a podcast, too. You can find it anywhere you get a podcast.
Okay, Couch Potatoes Podcast. Talk to you soon. If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.